Is the mic on? Yeah, okay, sweet. Okay, the reason why the coat, because Brazil 2014, all about World Cup, right? That's what everybody wants to know. What was World Cup in Brazil like? So we'll just get out that way and I'll tell you all about it. Okay, so Brazil World Cup definitely was exciting to be there. I live close to where one of the sites is that the right word? Where the games took place in Porto Alegre. And so it was just an exciting time to be there, to be part of all that, to see people from all over the world just really cheering together, being together. There's even like this weird sense of brotherhood that people from different countries like to get together and take pictures. And you just walk through the city and you see all of that. Brazil never played in Porto Alegre where we are. It was just other teams. So when Brazil would play, then we'd get together in the churches or we'd get together in people's homes to watch the games, try to use it as evangelistic outreaches, you know, watch the game and then do your guess on who's going to win and what the goals are, you know, how many goals. And then we'll give you prizes after there's a gospel presentation, some of those type of things. And yes, it's as crazy as what they say on the reports on the news and stuff. You know, everybody gets out of school to go. Kids, it was great. People and jobs, everybody, unless I think maybe you're a nurse or a policeman or something like that, you got off work. So if the game was at 5, at 3, everybody's done and going home. Now, don't try to get from anywhere in those that hour, but it was complete craziness. Everybody would go home, go to their church or whatever, watch their game, and it was complete dead silence, except for when there was a goal, you know, then, you know, and all that screaming and hollering, and then back in to watch the game and stuff like that. So it was definitely exciting to be there. During most of the games that happened in Porto Alegre, I was able to go in and be part of teams that were handing out tracts. None of these pictures are mine, by the way, because I was not taking my camera. So these are all internet pictures. And that's not even us handing out tracts, but it looks like exactly what we were doing. Some of the games, like over 50,000 people were in the city, just maybe even at the stadium, and then more that would come to visit. So it was a really exciting opportunity to be there. They had these fan fests, so you'd have the stadium. Like, the stadium was back in here somewhere, but then there's that fan fest right there with, like, another 50,000 people. So we would go into the fan fest, and you couldn't necessarily hand out tracts in there. We were actually asked to stop doing that. So what we would do is we'd stay on this main road that was called the Goal Walk, and we'd stand there and just hand out tracts as people walked by us. Sometimes we would take pictures. We'd offer, like, people would want to get their picture taken, and so they'd come up to us, oh, can you take my picture? Sure, and then you could hand them a tract, you know, because you'd just taken their picture. Sometimes it was hard to even guess just what language as they were walking by. I kind of felt like a flight attendant. You know, you looked at their face and tried to guess, do I give them English or Spanish or Portuguese or even Arabic tracts? I'm pretty sure that track is one of ours. So, and I found that picture on the internet, I think, so I thought that was pretty cool. That we were able to hand out portions of God's word to people who maybe never read it, don't pick it up. There was even Algeria was in Porto Alegre twice, I think. So we were able to hand out tracts in Arabic. I remember walking by one man that had on very Muslim, Arabic-looking clothing, whatever the right word is, and I handed him the tract, and he kind of looked at me. He opened up, and he read the entire thing to me in Arabic. I didn't understand any of it. You know, he read it to me, like, oh, thank you, and he starts to hand it back to me. I'm like, no, no, it's for you. And he's, oh, thank you so much, and he took it, and he went. So that was just a really cool opportunity to know that a man who probably doesn't get any exposure to the Bible where he is was able to have some portions of God's word with him on that track that he took. And we'd hand him out in the train. You'd see people just sitting in the train reading through their track because, you know, there's nothing else to do while you're waiting on the train. So hundreds of thousands of tracts were able to hand out. Not really any conversations, but a lot of track handing out. So God's word went out a lot. It was like a missionary friend of mine said, it was the Great Commission in reverse. The world came to us for a month. Instead of us going out to the world came to us. And it's going to actually happen again in 2016 with the Olympics being in Rio. So I'd like to go. I got to figure that out, if I can get there as a translator or do something like that to be able to go to Rio. But I want to show you a video. FIFA, the World Cup organization, was so kind to have already prepared a video for me. Okay, not for me. But it's a really nice video, really well-played, done video of Rio Grande do Sul, my state. So we're going to go ahead and show that video and just let you see what it looks like where I live. So. So those of you who've been there, seen things you liked, like the steak and the chocolate. I think the chocolate factory we visited was the one in the slides there. So that video is from Brazil, from the southernmost state, Rio Grande do Sul. Brazil is the fifth largest country. I don't think people actually realize that a lot of the time. If you take out Alaska, it's actually bigger than the United States. So it's bigger than the continental United States. It's fifth largest country in population as well. It used to be like 100% Catholic. Now it's kind of dropping down to 70%. We'll talk about that in a minute. But most emissions has taken place like in the Amazon region or maybe in São Paulo. São Paulo is a city of over 20 million in the metropolitan area. I was there like 2 years ago and don't really care if I ever go back. It's just huge. Driving around was insane. And that's like the seventh largest city in the world. So there is a lot of people in Brazil. It's a huge population. I've been serving in the southernmost state, which is Rio Grande do Sul. And then that circle there is kind of the capital there, Porto Alegre. So most of those shots that we just saw were from the capital there. It's the land of the gaúcho, or the cowboy. And it's settled a lot by German and Italian immigrants. So those are populations that you see a lot as well, which you don't necessarily think when you're going to go there that you're going to see a whole lot of Germans and Italians, but we do. Rio Grande do Sul is one of the most unevangelized states in Brazil. I've heard numbers from the first to third as far as most unevangelized. So these are statistics from the 2010, I believe, census in Rio Grande do Sul. And when you see it, 39% Catholic. And it's not just a normal Catholicism like we're used to here. It's a Catholicism that involves a lot of idol worshiping. This is the church right close to where I just was living. And they go and they're kind of praying over this priest's tomb. And then they'll ask him for whatever blessing they want or healing or want they want or whatever. And then if they get what they asked for, they bring him back a bench. So when you go to this area where all of his tomb is, that's his tomb, it's full of benches with all these plaques that say, thank you for the blessing that was reached. And so there's this whole weird mix of idol worship with Catholicism and different things like that. 24% evangelical, but that number is going to be mostly your health, wealth, prosperity, gospel, Pentecostal, maybe apostolics, even Seventh-day Adventists. A lot of those will fall into that number. 5% without religion, 3% spiritist, 1.5% candomblé, which this is like an African religion. Within like a mile of the church down there, there's probably like four or five of these centers. And you'll see them making sacrifices all the time. It's not uncommon at all to be driving home at night and see several street corners that have some kind of sacrifice set up. This one was weird. I had never seen it before. We were at the beach earlier in the year, but they were like baby bottles and pacifiers. A lot of times it can just be popcorn, goat's head, chicken's head, whatever. And what's shocking to me is that's three times larger percentage than Baptist. Actually, I even Googled to find some pictures. I Googled religion in Brazil. That's the images that came up more than any other one, was this African religion. So it's a very, very needy state. It's kind of known in Brazil as being the pastor missionary graveyard because that's kind of where you come to die. And we've seen a lot of that with Brazilian pastors, even that come from other states, stay for a couple years, it's too tough, and they go back. Good thing I was thinking about for me is that I don't know anything else in Brazil, so I'm not comparing it. And so that's where we are ministering, trying to really partner up with Brazilian churches, with Brazilian pastors and believers to plant churches. There's a lot of cities still that don't have anything as far as a good Bible-believing church. You know, some Catholics, maybe a Lutheran, but a lot of communities still without anything at all. So I've been there for 9 years. This last week I celebrated my 9th year. And first year was just language school. So really 8 years of ministry service after having worked here for, I don't remember, it was like 7 years, just for those of you guys that don't know me really well. And I had worked at Scioto Hills before going as well, graduated from Cedarville. And I spent the first seven and a half years working at Feitoria Baptist Church. And then the last couple months this year working at Ivelchi Biblical Ministry would be probably the best translation of that. Both were started by the Richners, actually, and are good churches. So I just want to share a little bit about what God's been doing. Feitoria was started by Home Bible Studies probably like 12 years ago or so. They just celebrated their 11th year. And it's been a real joy to be part of this church family. they really took me in well, you know, and it's family. It really is. And God taught me a lot through being there, and it was great to see him working. Over the years, I've been able to do discipleship, kind of, you know, the specific sit down and open up your Bible and your book and let's do discipleship. Two of those three girls I was able to do that with. But honestly, I think most of the discipleship I've done has just been the informal. You know, whether you're sitting down over a cup of coffee, because we have to have our afternoon coffee every day, or, you know, riding to a baseball practice or cleaning the church or through praise band, that's where I would say the most discipleship ministry has taken place. And the opportunities just to build into lives are abundant. One thing that's kind of cool in Brazilian culture, it took me a while to get used to it, I'm still getting used to it. If you want to see somebody, you need to invite yourself over. So by the way, if I invite myself over, everybody, that's because I want to see you. But that's what they'll be like, so can I come over and have lunch? You know, but here we wait. You know, there you go. You know, you ask, you want to get together with the people. So the opportunities are wonderful to be involved with people and let them be involved with you. One of my loves since I was little has definitely been music. I don't know if any of you guys remember me even playing trumpet up here years ago, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But God gave me those opportunities when I was in the United States to be able to learn music, to be able to use it in Brazil now. I don't think I ever would have guessed what I would be able to do in music, what the opportunities that God would give me. Here, most of us had music lessons in school. You know, you learned at least how to kind of maybe read music, or you got to do, you know, guitar or some trumpet or whatever. You learn guitar at school. There, really, if you don't grow up with a lot of money, you don't get those opportunities as much. It's more in the church if you learn it. And so to even the churches I've been associated with, in order to have a praise band, you kind of have to even teach them how to play, teach them how to sing, teach them what worship looks like. And it's been a real blessing to do that. We've even done some vocal lessons. These ladies and I would get together and a couple guys and do vocal lessons during the week. And it's just really funny. I just see this as how God works, because I would not want to play here in front of everybody. Like, especially if Joe's here, like, no. No. Joe, if you ever want to come to Brazil, please. Just making that wide open. Okay. you know, like, I'm nothing special here whatsoever. And even would be embarrassed to sing or play here, something like that. But down there, God's been able to use those gifts and abilities to help train people that don't have anything. And that's what I've realized a lot of missions is just using our ordinary gifts and talents and skills that God's given us to be able to serve him and maybe help a people that need something new. So I love this time of being together, of playing with them, having fun, you know, crying, being mad. I mean, all the gamut we've gone through. This little guy, Nico, by the way, the lady that just passed away, this is one of her sons, but, you know, was able to teach him some guitar and singing and different stuff like that. So just our ministry and worship has just been a huge blessing. I've loved bringing, what do they call you? The talentless one? Would that be our translation? Yeah, Douglas was known as the Sem Talento. Yeah, the boy without talent. But you guys saw the boy without talent this morning, you know. And so it's just exciting to see how God uses a little bit we have to make it be something bigger. And so I'm trying to learn a lot about music so that I can even do that better. But that's been a niche I've been able to fit into. I've also really enjoyed the relationships built through our outreach ministries. One of which was really funny was the old ladies aerobics. It really is. I started off using, what's that called? The Biggest Loser, Bob, whatever his name was, off the Biggest Loser DVDs. And we'd put it up there and the little old ladies would come. And maybe they can't do a push-up or, you know, or in their jumping jacks are kind of weird. But they would come every week. This little lady back here, I might even try to say her name, T. It's a really cool story because she works with a lady from our church. And the lady from our church would tell us, this lady at work, T, she's really against God. And she won't even let me sing Christian songs. And if I sing anything Christian, she complains to the boss about it. And, you know, very anti anything. Somehow she started coming to aerobics, kept coming, and we'd have, you know, like a little stop and think, or at least pray, and I would try to compliment her, be like, oh, you're doing a really good job. She's 70 years old. You're doing a really good job. But that stuck with her, and so I'd hear stories about how she went back to work, and she'd be like, the professor said I did really good. And then she'd come back, and by the end, like when I was leaving it over and then handed over to Douglas in the ministry, it was like, are we going to do the Bible today? You know, so who knows where that's going to go into her life. So that's just been a really silly, fun ministry. Baseball ministry has been another one I've enjoyed working with this team. It's just, it's kind of just a relaxing thing to get to do on, you know, a nice morning, but then also ministry to them. This year we had a Mexican family come in because of work, and we've just really taken to each other, and they call us family, and we get together and have cookouts and sleepovers and different stuff like that. And so pray for their salvation, for this family. And a lot of the guys that were in that picture are unbelievers. But it's a cool ministry. You know, we pray together as a team before the games. Most of the other teams are screaming cuss words as their chant, and we pray. So just some of these outreach type ministries. Youth ministry has always been one of my focuses. You guys know that. I did it here. I've done it there, and that's what I love to do. So I want to do something a little different this time and just share what God did. So that was hard and how it became good. And sorry, because apparently I'm already teary, but it was an amazing story. When I left on furlough last 4 years ago, Douglas was actually in charge of a youth group with a pastor. When I got back, they were, you know, becoming young adults at this point, 20, 18, 20s, 19s and stuff like that. And I jumped back in, but we were having a really hard time. And, you know, we were doing everything we could. We'd fast, we'd pray, we'd think of every crazy idea we could do, but there'd be days we'd have like two. And the ship was sinking big time about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. And I can remember Pastor coming in and talking and just being like, the ship's going down and I don't want you guys to go with it. And there's a whole lot of, you know, reasons and blame and all this as to, you know, what was going on, but for some reason, that group just wasn't making it. And a lot of it was teens to young adults going to college or getting a job, and now they're too busy for church, and they've got the girlfriend, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they'd, you know, blame me or blame whatever, and they didn't want to be there anymore. So that was an extremely difficult period to just be like, what's going on? Why, you know, why is God allowing this? What are we doing wrong? Is it us? You know, what's going on? At the same time, this young couple, Edson and Alexandra, had been saved for a few years and were taking over the younger kids. They had like what we could say like was junior high age. And their ministry was doing pretty good. And there was a middle group that like completely died. That one just never made it. Well, I'm going to say it was June, probably 3 years ago. All of a sudden, their son, Enzo, got some life-threatening disease, and I can't remember, some kind of bacteria that'll kill you. And they were in the hospital in the PEDS ICU for like a month. And it's just an amazing story of what God did to save this little guy. But it was very touchy there for a long time. You know, like the church just really wondering what's going to happen with Enzo. Is he going to make it? He was on dialysis for a whole month and just, he still can't have salt to this day. Whatever happened in their mess up and he can't have any salt and things. So they were going through probably the hardest time in their life that they've ever gone through. I was going through one of the roughest things that I've ever gone through. And so what PA, he said, that, you know, obviously they're not leading their youth group. He said, well, why don't you guys switch and go take over that group? And so we made a switch to that group. And for a couple months, we're just leading it. And it was going really good. It was actually like, hey, this is exciting to be part of something that's going good. And the kids are growing and we're having a good time together. So when they came home then, we decided, let's stay together. And so we formed a leadership team that worked together for about 3 years. Enzo came home. He's doing really well. At 5-year-olds, he loves to stand up on front and sing. If anybody wants a YouTube video, I can share one with you. He loves to sing by himself and just talk about God and pray. And the youth group is doing really well. You know, it's like any normal youth group. It's got its ups and downs and kids coming in and kids coming out. But that youth group has grown, is doing really well. You can see the kids, you know, all the time on Facebook. We can keep up with them. But it's just amazing to see that God took what we thought was horrible, you know, some of the worst things that we were ever going through, took us through them, taught us, and then brought out something amazing on the other end. And all of us would say that leadership team, that great community that we had would have never happened hadn't we gone through all those bad things together. And so we're just really thankful for that. One of my favorite stories from the last couple years that I just love and miss dearly is our Wednesday night Bible study. This is all of us holding our Bibles that Fairview Missionary Church donated to us so that we could all have NIV Bibles to study together. That kind of happened actually like at the same time period. what the church kind of had going those Wednesdays was not working, but there was a lot of junior hires coming. So then PA said, well, why don't you guys do something on Wednesday night? So we did that. So we started in Genesis 1 using the story of hope, the same thing that we're using with the kids on the growth groups right now. Like, all right, let's just start, and we'll do a Bible walkthrough. And that was 3 years ago, and they're still going strong. So we kind of finished the Old Testament. And we didn't do, like, every single prophet or all the Psalms, but we did a real good walkthrough of the whole Old Testament. Now they're in the New Testament, and it's going really well. Periodically, we'd even have, like, party weeks, we'd call them that, to celebrate what God had done. So we'd get to, like, 25, and we'd have a party week. We'd get to 50 and have another party week. And this is, like, them playing a Bible search at game. You know, we would do games and have food, of course, and, you know, because we're Baptists and we have to eat. And but we would just have our party weeks together that were really fun. But to tell you a little more about the Bible study in itself, I'm sure any of us who've had any kind of methods of Bible teaching class, this is what they would tell you not to do. But it just has reminded me all the time of how it's God's word and not our methods. We would sit down and just make up questions as we read the passage. So we'd sit down, read through, you know, here's what, 2 Kings, 1 Kings. So we'd read the passage and just make some observation questions. All right, I'll put up in English. So we'd make, you know, some observation questions. And then the goal was for them to take it home and do it during the week. That's why it's in three sections. The idea was, well, if they're not doing Bible study at home, they can take this home and in three sessions or whatever, study it out. And they were basic, kind of written at a junior high level, really, questions. But the adults were always invited to come be part of it. And so we have a good group of adults, too. Of course, bribing helps. We've bought a lot of candy in the last 3 years. So you get candy if you bring your Bible, and you get a sucker if you bring your Bible study that's done. And if they ever got 100%, I made brownies. So, they would do it, but the growth was amazing. So we get together for like 2 hours every Wednesday. Yes, you can even see the suckers in this picture. But it was amazing because they want to be there. They, you know, one little guy will say, oh, on Tuesdays, I just couldn't wait for Wednesday to come, you know. And they want to study and they want to read. So we get there. The first thing we do is share prayer. Well, usually we sing first. We let them pick songs. And it's a fight over who gets to pick. Not a fight because nobody wants to, but okay, our only four of you can pick tonight. Prayer requests, prayer time. Sometimes we'd go around the entire circle of 20 and let them all pray, and they do it, you know. And then we'd get out the Bible study. And so we'd be there 2 hours plus. We have to hold ourselves down to not go over 2 hours. And they love to read God's word. This is one of my favorite things. If they don't get to read, they're mad. And they'll remember, and they'll come back next week, and they'll say, you didn't let me read last week. I want to read today. Okay, fine. You know, in our Sunday school classes, you know, poor Joey this morning, like, can somebody read? I didn't because I'm a Portuguese Bible, okay? That was why. And I'm nervous reading in English anymore. Okay. But really, to our shame, most of the time, we have to pull teeth to get people to read the Bible or even pray and stuff like that. And they're not like that. They literally want to read. And so we have to go around the circle and give everybody the opportunity to read. In a minute, I'm going to show you a few testimonies. And one of them is from a guy named Rogério. And he was one who couldn't really read. I don't know how far he got in school. He's probably like fifth or sixth grade school education, but just doesn't read well. Well, he'd try to read, and he'd stumble over his words, and his wife and his kids would kind of laugh at him and correct him. And he got to the point of all, ugh, you know. So Douglas started teaching him more how to read. And the growth in his life because he started learning how to read the Bible was amazing. And now we get together and he gets going. You know, you can say, read two verses, and he's going. He's 3-4 verses. You know, he's loving that he can read now. But the important thing is that it's God's word. And that's what we've seen change lives. God impacts through his word. We were faithful to his word. We were faithful to being in that Bible study. And he used that. And it's not all about the fancy curriculums. I think sometimes we're so tied up into, oh, well, I have to have my fancy little curriculum. It's all printed out and have, you know, ladies' Bible study has to be pretty and have colored art and all this kind of stuff like that. And not that those things are bad, but we come dependent on them. And this is the only thing that we were dependent on. And God did a lot. I learned so much about, like, the kings. That was something, I'm not good at history. Sorry, Mr. Brandon. See, I still can't really call him Jack either. And, you know, but that was something I started understanding, was like the history of the Bible. And it became so exciting as I sat down and had to study through it. You know, and I used some commentaries to to make the answers good, to make sure that we could teach well, but just the dependence on God's word and not all about how fancy it is or what somebody else has said. You know, those things can be helpful, but we have to depend on what God has said in his word. And so it's just exciting to see how God blessed the study in his word. And it's still going on. You know, I haven't been leading them for a while. Douglas is here. They're still going. I just found out Wednesday night, one of the guys said, yep, we had our meeting, you know, and this and this and this, and we were there, and we discussed this passage in 2 Timothy, I think it was, or whatever, you know. Even without leadership, they keep going. And so it's a really exciting thing. I want to show you a few of their testimonies. Pardon the bad quality, but we did a bonfire night, which was us sitting in our normal room with a rotating heat lamp. So it gets dark, and then it gets light, and then it gets dark, and then it gets light. But these are just some testimonies. If you guys want to switch over to that video. So the first lady who's going to speak is a lady named Fatima. And she's a single mom of two boys who are two of our strongest kids in the youth group now. And went through her husband cheating on her and leaving her probably 3 or 4 years ago or so. And just has been growing exponentially since then. And so this is her little testimony about Wednesday night Bible study. The next lady is Ivania, another single mom. The church down there is full of single moms. A lot of them because of divorce or they were never married to begin with, few widows, things like that. This lady has only been in the church for a few years, but just has been growing by leaps and bounds. She's in the praise band, and she wanted me to teach her how to play guitar. And she's been learning about what it means to be a parent and teach your kids, and been doing a lot of discipleship with her. So this is her talking about Wednesday night. She went on to say and learned about parenting as well and what it meant to be a mother and be the parent, not let the children run the home. And so she's been really working a lot. And the next one I want to show is Jose Ario, the man I was talking about that really didn't know how to read a lot. So this is him sharing what he's been learning.
Deus está me mostrando, está me moldando, né? Devagarinho, eu vejo que eu estou tendo assim um envolvimento, né? Tudo por causa do estudo, né? E também daí tudo conjunto que nós fizemos, né, cara? Que, esse estudo depende do conjunto que são todos nós, né? O pai até me deu conhecimento, né? Está me dando.
His testimony goes on even further that he's sharing with us a couple months ago. I've been getting up in the morning and reading the Bible before I go to work. That's for a man who never read the Bible. And, you know, a few years ago, I remember having conversations with friends that would say, I'm not sure he really even understands the gospel. But you can just see him growing, wanting to read, wanting to pray. And he's waiting for a liver transplant now. Hepatitis and liver cancer and all that. And so, you know, in the last year, he's been sharing with us, well, the doctor tells me I've got 2 years, and I don't know what it's going to look like in the middle if he doesn't get a transplant, you know, how painful it's going to be if he doesn't get a transplant. But he's okay because he's got a strong faith. He's got trust in God, which has come about because we've studied the Word. He's been able to understand it. You know, it's kind of bad, but it's funny, you know, at the beginning where he says, I couldn't understand the pastor, you know. Because there's that level in which you have to break it down sometimes, and that's what happened. And so just I praise God, I thank him for his word. You know, his word is good, and it's alive. And when we're faithful to it, he does good things through his word. That's the difference. It's all about God's word. One of the things that I've loved about this Bible study, because it's just God's word and not, you know, something specific to another area or something like that, I was able to use it in the other ministry when I went up to Evo Chi this year. There's a group of young adults that are like the teen group. Most of them have already finished high school. I think all of them, maybe they're in college or they're on career tracks. So it's a little bit different with this group. But when I got up there and started working with them, come to find out they were also struggling with doing their Bible study during the week. Seems to be a recurring theme in most everybody's lives, right? And so I proposed them the idea of, hey, what do you guys think if we do the same Bible study? Work was already done, and it's a good Bible study. I believe in it. And so they accepted the challenge. And so we'd have sit around the table. And this one's a little bit different because we could go deeper maybe with our discussion level. And we'd have a lot of, oh, I didn't know that before moments. Kind of like how many people didn't know that Moses didn't put the staff in the water at the separating of the Red Sea. That's what we all think, right? Because that's what's in the movies. That's not what's in the Bible. I think every single one of them's like, really? You know, there's even stuff that Cindy Richner's like, oh, I didn't know that before. You know, I'm like, ooh, if you get Cindy Richner on something, you're doing good. You know, so this discussion and wow, I didn't know that before moments. And they would take turns sharing their applications. And they're going on their own now. I was able to hand them all over the Bible studies. And they're leading. They take turns every week leading that Bible study on their own. They prepare it. And from what I've heard, their plan is at the end of the year, they're going to take a retreat. And so whoever has more completed studies by the end of the year gets their retreat paid for. And so they're also growing using God's word. So that church, it's a newer church plant up in Evo Chi that Randy and Cindy were part of starting. It's about 25 minutes up the road in a more German city. I don't know, it's probably like 95% German and people speak German. You can go into the stores and hear German and all those type of things. But God worked in those months there in great ways. Different culture. I mean, it was almost like changing countries or something. But it was really a joy to be able to be part of that, to make some new friendships there. As I mentioned, youth group there was one of my main ministries. This is inside the Richner's homes, Richner's home. And we did a lot of Bible study type stuff. We'd also hang out a lot together, go out to eat, watch the World Cup games together. We had a retreat together. Dr. Fawcett came down and was our speaker. And that was my first time like translating an entire big weekend retreat type of thing. But we just had a really good time. It's a good group. It's growing. It's a small group. I don't see them really reaching out well yet. So hopefully that's something that they can really get a hold of sometime soon. Another major ministry there also was music. Reoccurring themes. When I got there, they were literally just using an MP3 player that somebody would hit play and then sing with it. And we all know that's not that fun. And so, actually, the first week I was going to go up there, Cindy's like, can you lead singing? You know, so I just had my guitar and didn't have a mic or anything and was just able to lead a few weeks. And then little by little, some of the people started singing with me, and then we started training some people. This guy, Alawar, on the left, was just learning to play guitar. There's another guy there, Lucas, but his dad's a pastor, and they travel every other week. So only every other week could Lucas be there. Lucas is really good. So Alawar had to kind of learn. And then Sarah, his sister, is the one playing piano there. And about 2 minutes before I left, there was kind of this, Aaron's leaving, we got to figure out what we're doing type of thing. So she learned to play piano in a month. Just basic chords, you know, it's nothing fancy and pretty, but it's enough to give a background. And so what's cool about this picture, for like the first time in 7 years, I didn't play. And I didn't know what to do with my hands, by the way. I'm so used to playing. So it was really weird, but I was able to just sing, which is exciting because that meant they're playing and they had graduated on to that. And from what I hear, I just got an email from Cindy. They're still doing well. They've got it organized. They're up and running. Sarah and Alawar have just taken over and they're leading it and they're doing a great job. And so that was just a blessing to be used by God to just help get, you know, that music ministry off the ground. They just moved into a larger building. I didn't even see this. This was Facebook pictures to be able to keep up on what's going on. That they recently even moved into a larger building, which I guess is downstairs from where we were renting before. And that's really good for them because that church there does a really, really good job of outreach into the community. The men love their soccer and their basketball. From what I heard, the mayor was even going to come play soccer with them and stuff like that. They have a jiu-jitsu ministry where one of the guys from the one crouching down, Edgy Milson's from the church, he started going to jiu-jitsu. And then his guy, his trainer, whatever they're called, the guy going this like this, was the one that was his master, accepted Christ. And now they have a whole jiu-jitsu ministry on Saturdays. You can go, guys from all over, girls, they come, they do a training for free, and then Randy goes and presents the gospel afterwards. I think he mentioned that when he was here even. I went twice, and then kind of realized I was a little old to be rolling around on the floor like that. It just never really took off, but it was really exciting to be there. They also do the jiu-jitsu at a little kids thing that they have called Plugi. It's a Leisure Program Uniting Generations. So they have at the gym facility all these classrooms, and kids come in like a latchkey, and senior citizens. They have like 60-some classes that they offer during the week for free to these kids. So, and it's open religiously because it's not, you know, a government-run thing. And so I was able to teach English there for 3 or 4 months to these like 8 to 12-year-olds. And we'd have our little Bible time every week. That was, you know, are we going to do Bible time today? I used the story of hope, and I had the big pictures, and we'd go through, you know, the flood, and we'd go through all that. And so the last week, then, we had a party, and I went through the whole gospel presentation, was able to give them bridge tracks to take home and hopefully share with their parents. So those are some really neat outreach opportunities that I've been able to have a part of. So I kind of think, like, what was God doing and all that? And, you know, God's always preparing us for the next step. And so I think one of the reasons for being involved in this outreach, these outreaches, as for the next step. Not 100% sure, but let's say 98% sure that the next step is when I go back, I'm going to help plant a church with another ABW missionary family, Rain and Sarah Southwell, in the city of São Leopoldo. The Faith Todia Church is on the northernmost end of town, and this is going to be on the southernmost end of town. It's in a little more affluent area because it's right across the street from one of the major universities. Unicinos University is like 25,000 students, private university, one of the top three in the country. And they live like 3 blocks away. I took care of their house last year while they were on furlough, and I'd walk the dog through the university. And so I think that God even used that to just put it on my heart that this is a place where there are literally tons of people coming in that need to know the gospel. They already have some outreach ministry there because Randy plays on the basketball team. It's like an open deal, so he plays on the college basketball team. And they go to the gym there, and they're getting ready to start probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks a Bible study with their trainer and his wife and to reach out into the community. They've, you know, lived there all these years. They were driving half an hour away to another church plant. So now they're actually going to be like at home trying to start a church plant there, and I'm going to partner up with them. One of our ideas is we've thought about the University Boulevard. You can kind of see in the bottom of the picture the main road coming through. There's a lot of storefronts. And so we've thought about if God provides money for us to be able to rent a storefront and have like just an open counseling, English tutoring, Bible study, maybe sell cookies and brownies because that works really well, I learned, just as an outreach to try to get into the community. And if we have that space, it could become a church space sometime down the future. That's all new to me, to be able to do that. Randy's also will be talking to a contact we have at City Hall to see how we can get into the community. We can probably get into schools offering to help with English lessons or religion lessons. And then the trainer at my gym for all these years just recently left the gym, and he's now working at SESI. And it's some kind of, I don't even understand it right, but some kind of community program for the working man where they have a gym, and he's in charge of the PE program. So I'm, you know, really good friends with him. So if Randy hasn't gotten in contact with him by the time I get there, I will. And I'm sure we can be able to use that space and partner with them. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities, but that's going to be very new for me. I've never done the start at zero. I've always jumped into church plants. But God's given me opportunities over the last several years to learn more about those outreach, start something new ministries. You know, how do you go into a school setting and meet somebody and form a relationship and different things like that. And given me some time in learning how to start music from zero or how to start Bible studies from zero. So as we get to that point, hopefully in a year or two or 10, whatever God sees fit, that he will have prepared me for that ministry already. So that's kind of where the future's heading. And, you know, I'd like to tell you I'm going to do this and this and this and this, but it could be all this and this and this. And I thought 10 years ago it was going to be, and it was this and that, you know, we just don't know. I know what God's gifted me, and I'm sure he'll stretch me with new things. But that's kind of where I'm heading. So I just want to thank you all for being, you know, my church and praying for me and supporting me, you know, financially and with prayers and love and Facebook and, you know, all kinds of just support. It's been a true blessing. Please come see my table afterwards and sign up for the prayer letter. Even if you already get it, because I'm going to do that whole clean out my inbox thing, you know. So, you know, re-sign up for the email, grab a prayer card. There's a prayer list, project list, if that interests you. But the good thing is I'm here still for another 4 months so we can hang out and, you know, feel free to ask any questions you want and things like that. So thank you all very much.